speak God's word. Speak God's word in authority. Whenever you find yourself coming under condemning thoughts and defeating thoughts, speak God's word in authority. It's time for believers to rise up in their authority. Thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. We welcome all of you who are joining us by television, or those of you who are joining us at airjesus.com. Stay tuned to today's message. Today we're doing part three, something we started a couple of weeks ago. This will be the final part, entitled Embrace Good Thinking. Embrace Good Thinking. And I'd like to just share a little humor that was in my email this week. And it says, attending a wedding for the first time, a little girl whispered to her mother, "Why is the bride dressed in white?" The mother replied, "Because white is the color of happiness, and today is the happiest day of her life." The child thought about this for a moment and then said, "So why is the groom wearing black?" There was another little boy in terms of marriage. He asked his father, he said, "Daddy, how much does it cost to get married?" And his father said, "He said, son, I don't know. I'm still paying for it." Philippians chapter 4. And let's read verse 8. Finally, you can read together with me. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so we're using as a subject in this little mini series, this three-part series entitled Embrace Good Thinking. And I love the way the Apostle Paul, he sort of presents this as a final thought. This is one thing he wanted to leave them with after he had shared so much in the book of Philippians. But his final thought was actually on our thoughts. His final thought, he said, finally, I want to leave you with this. I've taught you a lot of good things in Philippians, but I want to leave you with this. His final thought was about our thoughts. And so he teaches us to embrace good thinking. We also mentioned Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. It mentions that as a man thinks, one translation says, as a man thinks, so shall his life be. As a man thinks, so shall his life be. And I love this, somebody said it this way, where the mind goes, the man follows. Where the mind goes, the man follows. So your life will always follow your thoughts. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he said this. He said, life consists of what a man is thinking about all day. That is life. That's what makes up life. That is what will determine a man's life, is what he thinks about all day. And so we have to realize and understand that our thoughts determine our attitude. They determine our self-image. Our thoughts determine our words. They determine our actions. They determine how we feel. And ultimately, our thoughts determine our destiny. Our thoughts, and this is what the Apostle Paul really wanted us to know, our thoughts are powerful. Our thoughts are powerful. The mind itself is so powerful. It is so powerful. You know, if you've ever had a dream, and in the dream you were running, running from something, running scared or afraid. Do you know, you wake up, your heart is beating fast. You know, sometimes you can literally be sweating when you wake up. Now, all of that just happened in your mind. Just a thought of that. But that was reality. That turned out to be reality as far as your physical body is concerned. So the mind is so powerful, and we really have not grasped how our minds control our lives. Our thinking controls our lives. It affects how you feel. I remember once I was getting out of the shower, and as I was drying off, I looked down at my thigh and I noticed that I had a cut on my thigh, and I had not seen it before. And so the moment I saw it, it started hurting. And so I started limping. I started limping toward the bathroom door so that I could call my wife and call for help. Bring me the first aid kit. I'm injured here. And this thing was hurting, and I was just limping. And so I finally got to the bedroom and I sat down. And when I looked at it good, it was a piece of red thread. So I wasn't even cut. But because I thought I was cut, my body had already started feeling the pain. I was limping. I was already. And so it was affecting my physical body just by what I thought in my mind. So our mind is very powerful. Make no mistake about it. Your mind, your thinking controls your life. It directs your life. It is very, very, very powerful. And whatever you continually give your thoughts to will inevitably change your life. Whatever you continually give your thoughts to, that will inevitably change your life. If you give your thoughts to pornography, that will change your life. Believe me, if you continually give your thoughts to pornography, that will eventually change your life. If you give your thoughts to God's word continually, that will change your life. Whatever you give your thoughts to continually will change your life. Nobody just gets a divorce. No, divorce begins with a thought. You start thinking about divorce long before you ever show up in court to get one. And so everything in our lives begin with a thought. When a married couple, when they go outside of the confines of marriage and get involved in adultery, adultery doesn't just happen. Adultery begins with a thought. You first think about it. You entertain the idea. Everything that happens to us begins with a thought. And so we realize that thoughts determine our words, our attitude, our self-image, our actions. They determine how we feel and ultimately our destiny. How you think, how we think, is the difference between success and failure. It's the difference between joy or misery. It's the difference between peace or turmoil, simply how we think. Let me read something that was written by Bob Conklin. And it says, I can make you rise or fall. I can work for you or against you. I can make you a success or a failure. I control the way you feel and the way you act. I can make you laugh, work, love. I can make your heart sing with joy, excitement, and elation. Or I can make you wretched, dejected, morbid. I can make you sick, listless. I can be as a shackle, heavy, attached, burdensome. Or I can be as the prism hue, dancing, bright, fleeting, last forever, unless lost forever, unless captured by pen or purpose. I can be nurtured and grown to be great and beautiful, seen by the eyes of others through action in you. I can never be removed, only replaced. I am a thought. Why not know me better? I am a thought. Why not know me better? So he writes there about how our thoughts can cause our success or failure to rise or fall. All these different emotions and all of these different places in life, we can end up simply because of how we think. Our thoughts can cause us to end up in various places or have various feelings in life. I like something that Benjamin Disraeli said. He said, "Nurture great thoughts, for you will never go higher than your thoughts." Nurture great thoughts, for you will never go higher than your thoughts. I read an interesting story about Muhammad Ali, the greatest fighter of all time. And this is something I didn't know, but his trainer, Angelo Dundee, before every fight, he would take a little slip of paper and he would write a number on it and he would slip it down into Ali's glove. And you might think that's a strange thing to do for a fighter before each fight, but that number on the piece of paper that he slipped into Ali's glove before every fight, he wrote the number of the round he predicted Ali would knock out his opponent. He did that before every fight, before every fight. It wasn't a matter of if Ali would win. Notice what he's doing. Notice what he's doing to Ali's thinking. It was not a matter if he would win. He wrote what round Ali would knock his opponent out. And I honestly believe that that had something to do with Ali's champion mindset, his attitude about he could whip anybody, because in every fight, he could feel that slip of paper in his glove, and it reminded him, it jarred his thinking that he was supposed to knock out his opponent in a certain round. Folks, that's championship thinking. That's the mentality of a champion. And that trainer understood something about the psychology of the mind and how we follow our thoughts. We follow our thoughts. And so he did that exercise, and Ali used it to the highest. And that's why he talked the way he talked, and he thought the way he thought, and that's why he fought the way he fought. Praise God. All because that trainer realized that our thoughts direct our lives. They direct our lives. Don't forget Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 23, one translation says, "Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. So this is something you don't do this one time. This is something you got to do constantly. You got to constantly take care of your thoughts. You got to constantly guard your mind. You got to constantly put good things on the inside of you so you can think right thoughts. And so this is something that you have to constantly be vigilant to do in your life. And so our thoughts direct, they direct our lives, they direct how we feel, they direct whether or not we're going to have joy or whether or not we're going to be depressed, whether or not we're going to have success or failure, whether we rise or fall. All begins with our thoughts. You know, our thoughts can even, you know, we can feel a certain way about certain people by what we think they think about us. And you'll be surprised that a lot of people feel a certain way about certain people because they're thinking what that person is thinking, or they're trying to think what that person is thinking. And because they're thinking that person is thinking a certain way, it makes them react a certain way. I remember I was in the mall one day, and long story short, one of our members was upset with me. And I found out, when I heard about it, I found out why the member was upset with me. And it was because they claimed that I was in the mall and saw them, and I didn't speak to them. And so their thinking was that I saw them, and I saw them, and I purposely intended not to speak to them, in a, you know, just to be demeaning or rude. And so they actually left the ministry all because of their thought of how they thought I was thinking. And here's the truth. I never saw them. I never saw them. I never saw them. But they got angry and left the ministry all because of a thought they had, thinking that I had thought a certain way, and it was causing them to react a certain way. And so we have to be careful. Our thoughts, they got all upset. I didn't even know anything about it. I didn't even know I had offended her. But her thoughts, she got to thinking and said, yeah, he saw me, and he didn't want to speak to me on purpose. He overlooked. And I had, you know, that was the furthest thing from the truth. And so our thoughts can affect our feelings. Now, they were all bent out of shape, and I had never even knew anything had happened. And so we can be bent out of shape because we project our thoughts onto somebody else's thought. And then we end up reacting, you know, trying to think what somebody else is thinking, when all along they could be the furthest thing from the truth. So our thoughts are just, they're powerful. They infect us in every which manner, in every way possible. I want to tell you something about a gentleman I read about. He was captured. He was in the army, and he was captured by the enemy army, and he was held in a cell that was so small that he couldn't even stand up all the way in the cell. And he was under such terrible conditions, and he was kept this way for 7 years. For 7 years, he was captured and kept held captive by the enemy in this small cell that he didn't even have room enough to stand up in. And he realized early on in his captivity that he was going to have to put his thoughts on something to keep himself from going crazy. Because if he started thinking about where he was and the conditions he was under and the little small space he was confined in, he said he would have lost his mind. He knew it. And so he immediately, early on in his captivity, he said, I got to do something with my thoughts in order to escape the horrid conditions that I'm living under. Now, before he was captured, he was a golfer. He played golf. He's just an average golfer. And he had this idea. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to play golf every day in my mind while I'm in captivity. And so he did that for every day, 4 hours a day. He would visualize the golf course. He would visualize every shot. He visualized himself walking to every hole and playing 18 holes a day. So for 4 hours, he visualized it. He played golf in his mind 4 hours every day for 7 years. After 7 years, he was released. And his bodily condition, of course, his physical condition had deteriorated some. But he went to go play golf. Now, he hadn't picked up a club in 7 years. He went to go play golf, and he shot a round of 74, which is just two over par. His normal round before he was in prison, his normal round was 94. His golf game had improved by 20 strokes, and he hadn't practiced or played other than in his thinking. And it shows the power of the mind. And so that's why the devil wants us to think such defeating thoughts, such limiting thoughts, to think defeat and failure and lack and sickness, to think all of these defeating things, because the devil knows that your life will follow. And God is the complete opposite. God wants you to think on good things so that you can draw good things. Just like that gentleman whose golf game improved, God knows that the right thinking will improve your life. We are magnetized with our thinking. We literally draw in like a magnet the very thing that occupies our mind. And so I just thought that was so incredible. He hadn't played a game of golf in 7 years, but because he had played every day in his thinking, it translated to the course. And he shot 20 strokes better than he'd ever shot in his life because he had played golf every day in his mind. The mind, tell your name, so the mind is powerful. The mind is powerful. The mind is so powerful. Let me give you about two or three quick keys that I've picked up in this series. Number one, guard your mind. Guard your mind. Get rid of defeating thoughts. And this is really the first thing that drew me into this series, was that statement. Get rid of defeating thoughts. That's a statement the Holy Spirit just really enlightened and inspired in me. Get rid of defeating thoughts. Get rid of defeating thoughts. Dennis Waitley said this. He says, winners in life think constantly in terms of I can, I will, and I am. I can, say that with me. I can, I will, and I am. Winners in life think constantly in terms of I can, I will, and I am. So number one is to guard your mind. Get rid of defeating thoughts. I like something that this little poem I read is entitled Keeper of the Keys. It says, you are the keeper of the keys. You are the guard at the gate. Waiting in line to get through that door is love and also hate. In line to enter is gentle peace and also violent war. You must choose who may and who may not come through the door. You're the keeper. You're the keeper of the keys. You're the keeper of the keys. So you have to guard your mind. Number two, you want to be a possibility thinker. Possibility thinker. And I wish I had more time to go into this, but you want to be a possibility thinker. You want to always look for the best in every situation, not dwelling on what's wrong, but looking for the possibility. Despite the circumstances, you're always looking, you're on the lookout for the possibilities in every circumstance. Looking for the possibilities in every circumstance. Be a possibility, turn to your neighbor and say, be a possibility thinker. Be a possibility thinker. So don't look around at the despair and the discouragement and the circumstances. No, always be a possibility thinker. Look at what can be. Look at what, don't look at what's lost. Look at what's left, what you can make out of what's left. Always be a possibility thinker. Always be a possibility. So number one, guard your mind. Number two, always be a possibility thinker. And number three, always put good things in your mind. Put good things in your mind through your reading or through your listening to audio cassettes or CDs or even at Air Jesus on the online word, or always put good things, good thoughts, put good things. So you got to have, in order to think good thoughts, you got to have some good material to draw from in your inside. Always do that. And here's something the Holy Spirit said to me very loudly. He said, and number four, speak God's word in authority. Speak God's word in authority. Speak God's word. He almost shouted that at me. Speak God's word in authority. Whenever you find yourself coming under condemning thoughts and defeating thoughts, speak God's word in authority. It's time for believers to rise up in their authority and to speak God's word in authority. I want to thank you all for joining us today. And you can go to airjesus.com and listen to this message, message number 7432, in its entirety. You can also email it to a friend absolutely free of charge. Thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the word.
This ends message number 7432 by C. Elijah Bronner. To send this message, Embrace Your Thinking Part 3, number 7432, to a friend, simply go to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com. This has been message number 7432. Listen to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com often, and keep your spirit charged up.